Thanks, Rob. It's a download here, 720 WGN. I'm Justin Coffin. Well, it's Wednesday, so that means it's time to check in on all things local politics with the Daily Line. Usually Mike Fouché's in, but tonight, Adie Quigg, reporter at the Daily Line, is in for him in his stead. We got a lot to talk about. We talk about Joe Berrios, Forrest Claypool, CPS, and, of course, marijuana, which shows up, could be showing up at a ballot coming to you soon.
It will.
It will be. Adie Quigg, good to see you. Thanks for being here.
Thanks for having me.
All right, so let's first talk about, if we can, let's talk about Joe Berrios, the assessor, the Cook County assessor. An interesting story, a four-part series comes out in the Tribune about something that I guess we all kind of know as Chicagoans, that if you're rich and you can hire tax lawyers, you can exploit loopholes and get your property taxes decreased. This is something that's been going on. I know, I know, and I'm like, I wish I had a lawyer, that kind of thing. But I mean, this is obviously putting pressure once again on the tax system here in the city of Chicago, but directly on Assessor Berrios.
Right. So Joe Berrios is the man in charge of assessing property in Cook County, and Jason Grotto with the Tribune, now with ProPublica, did a massive four-part investigation of how the assessment system works and basically found out that it was very inequitable and structurally did not have a fair and balanced way of assessing property. So people in low-income communities and small business owners in low-income communities were having their properties over-assessed, and wealthier homeowners and commercial and industrial property owners were being assessed at a lower rate. So they were basically getting a tax break and also winning on appeals of their assessments over and over. This is one of the first big concrete things that has been pinned on Berrios, showing, you know, I think the Tribune said it well, that he's not doing his job well.
Right.
And he also happens to be up for election in 2018. So this is a huge deal.
And what a lot of people don't know, he's also co-chair of the Cook County Democrats, if not the chair. I mean, he's run Democrat politics in Cook County for years.
Right.
And he's a big player. So there is some question about whether or not he's giving breaks to some people who might be funders for Democrat
right.
politics in Cook County by assessing their property at a lower value.
Yeah, he's been criticized for a long time for accepting campaign donations from property tax appeals attorneys. And the fourth part of this investigation showed that big firms owned by Mike Madigan and Alderman Ed Burke were some of the biggest recipients of breaks.
Again, and I don't consider myself an expert, but I consider myself well-read. That story is one that I have head-scratched for years in Chicago about how the biggest and most powerful and prominent politicians on the Democrat side are also making money off of the system, whether through their own law firms. Alderman Ed Burke comes to mind, also the Speaker, Mike Madigan. Yeah, and quick to jump in on this, Governor Rauner coming out,
calling for him to resign.
Wants Berrios to resign, but more importantly, has found a way to connect Mike Madigan to this, J.B. Pritzker to this, to find a way to sort of call out the Chicago way
right.
To all Illinois voters.
An unholy trifecta, I think he called it. And, you know, these are the big villains that Rauner has been pointing to for a very long time. Another Democratic gubernatorial candidate also pounced on this, Chris Kennedy, who's been saying we need to fix this system and make it equitable for everyone, which is interesting. He's one of very few Democrats who have come out to criticize Berrios.
I think of Cook County Board President Tony Preckwinkle. I think of the mayor of Chicago and Rahm Emanuel. Are they on the record with Joe Berrios?
President Preckwinkle was slated with Joe Berrios for the 2018 primary by the Cook County Democratic Party, stood by him again today and said, you know, if the voters want to kick out Joe Berrios, they have that option on March 20th.
So he's not resigning. If anything,
he
had some nice things to say about the governor and about the candidate and Chris Kennedy, saying, if you don't like it, why don't you give back all the money
right.
from your property?
Right, because right. Chris Kennedy and J.B. Pritzker have both benefited from property tax appeals. I mean, it's their right to appeal. And Berrios has said the system is fair because there is a redress. People can appeal their property tax assessments, whether people... His lead challenger in 2018 has said, why don't we just do it right the first time
right.
and make sure the assessments are appropriate?
There's something to be said that this is becoming more and more of a hotbed issue, because just in the last year and in the years coming up here, the city of Chicago has had to raise and raise and raise property taxes. So I won't say the first time it's you know, a heavy tax burden to citizens of the city of Chicago, taxpayers, but it's getting more and more right. obvious in that regard. So when you see that there's inequities and people who have a lot of money are finding ways to cheat the system, it's more pronounced now than it might have been 10, 15, 20 years ago.
Right. And what a lot of people what it took me a while to understand is that for every break that these big industrial properties are getting, the tax levy is the same countywide. So whenever someone isn't paying, you have to pay a little bit more. So that, and his name is going to be the name that shows up, you know, people see that name on their property tax bill and see the property tax bill going up and have a name to.
Yeah. And I'm very interested in the political side of this, because Berrios quickly came out against Governor Rauner and used the, what the Democrats seem to be using, which is you're not in charge. The phrase he used, Rauner used in an interview not too long ago, saying, I'm not in charge. Mike Madigan's in charge of the state. Now they're pouncing on that. Governor Rauner looks like he's pouncing on the idea that this is what he's going to run with in general election. The idea of the Democrats are all in cahoots, the Chicago way. You got Berrios, Madigan, Burke, all the way down, J.B. Pritzker, all the way down the line.
Right.
I mean, are we seeing, I mean, is Berrios and this issue really kind of seeing this election and what the issues are going to be kind of sussed out?
Preview of it, perhaps? It's an interesting intersection of all the things that people, it's the Chicago way stuff that people bring up all the time. It's high taxes. It's an unfair system. It's rich, entrenched politicians winning out in the end. The other thing to keep in mind is that there is an independent analysis of the assessment system going on that the county called for. I will be very interested to see those results.
A.D. Quigg, reporter with the Daily Line, in studio tonight talking all things local. We'll talk about Forrest Claypool, who resigned at the end of last week, and we'll also talk about the new ballot initiative measure that's out that'll be about
the
marijuana.
The referendum. I didn't come up with it. That was John Fritchie.
And John Fritchie. Good job, John. A.D. Quigg in studio. Stay with us. Welcome back to Download here, 720 WGN. A.D. Quigg, reporter at Daily Line, with me in studio. We're talking all things local politics. Forrest Claypool, the, I would say now you can use the word long time.
Long time.
CPS CEO, resigned at the end of last week after an IG, an Inspector General investigation into hiring a lawyer who was a friend of his. I mean, the way I kind of broke it down is he hired a friend and then lied about it. Is that, I mean, that's pretty accurate.
That's pretty close. The school's inspector general said he repeatedly lied during an investigation of a hiring of a friend who was brought on to help the district bring a lawsuit against the state over school funding. And he was still getting a payout from a former employer, and that former employer was helping with the lawsuit, so there was a conflict there. And there were several rounds of ethics decisions that said you shouldn't do this. And then Claypool brought in another friend.
I was going to say, my favorite part of that story is there were six different decisions that said this is a conflict, don't do it. And he's like, let's go to a seventh. And he got the seventh to be like, yeah, sounds good for us. He's like, hey, get rid of the other six. We got a winner. I mean, it's so classic politics.
Well, his argument was everything was done so I could fight for school funding for our kids.
Right.
And that was kind of the crowning achievement of his time in office, was winning more state funding.
Now, the idea that this being a scandal, that he hired a friend to do this, to fight for more school funding, it does, I mean, what's happening with politics today and all the scandals that are exploding left and right when it comes to our representatives and our people who work in government, this is kind of small potatoes. And now it's obvious to me that that's an issue that he lied to cover it up. But what does the city of Chicago and more importantly, Chicago Public Schools lose by losing their leader over a scandal that essentially doesn't own up to some of the other scandals we're seeing out there?
I mean, it's just, it's bad that CPS has had this many CEOs and kind of a lack of stability. I think a lot of parents have already been struggling with, we've had school closures. We have had funding issues for a very long time. We had this fight over the teacher's contract. It's just been totally unstable. And it just doesn't look good to have another one fired in scandal after what happened with Barbara Bird Bennett. I think a lot of some teachers are excited to see a fellow teacher now at the head.
Janice Jackson.
Right. She was chief education officer since 2015. Before that, she was a principal and a social studies teacher. CTU is excited to have an educator at the helm. I think she comes with a different perspective than Claypool did, because he was not an educator. He was a Mr. Fix-It.
Well, that's my question about him. He's bounced around from department to department, whether it's with Mayor Daley or Mayor Emanuel. He also ran for office here and there. Is this the end of Forrest Claypool as we know him, as a name that we've known in Chicago politics for quite a while now?
How many people in Chicago politics really go away? That's the only thing I'll say about it. And he got a very nice send-off from the mayor. I mean, they've been friends for close to 40 years. First met on a downstate congressional campaign in the 80s and have been friends ever since. His resignation was like a very nice retirement party, greatest hits of Forrest Claypool. So he got the best send-off that he could. He said he made a stupid mistake, and I mean,
And frankly, gets to avoid what happens in 2018 when it hits summertime and they go, you know what, we're just out of money.
Yeah.
You know, we need to go back. They're going to, you know, I don't have a lot of faith that everything has been fixed by the battle for school funding in the state. I just have this sneaking suspicion that CPS will be knocking on the door again.
Yeah. They've had a very deep hole to dig out of for a long time. The state funding helped a lot, but it's supposed to take a long time to really help as well. They've got some long-term debt to deal with.
All right, our last story tonight has to do with marijuana. The Cook County Board today decided, was it unanimous? Did I read it was unanimous?
It was unanimous.
That they are going to put a question on the ballot coming up here in 2018.
Yes.
An advisory question. Now, what's the question?
So the question is, you know, rolls right off the tongue. Shall the state of Illinois legalize the cultivation, manufacture, distribution, testing, and sale of marijuana and marijuana products for recreational use by adults 21 and older, subject to state regulation, taxation, and local ordinance?
Mm.
So basically, should recreational marijuana be available for people above 21?
And obviously unanimous at the Cook County Board. What's the impetus to do this? Why put this on the ballot?
Basically, as a thing to point to say the people want this.
It's non-binding. It's not something
it's
that if it wins, it gets 50%, we have to do. It's essentially just a message being sent to Springfield.
Yeah. And there are lawmakers in Springfield who for a long time have said, you know, this would be good for our criminal justice system. We wouldn't have so many marijuana arrests. It wouldn't be stressing our public defenders and state's attorneys to prosecute these low-level drug offenses. And there's a ton of revenue in it. I mean, we've seen what it's like for Colorado and California after they did recreational. And Illinois
Washington
could use the money.
You saw that. Democrats, senators in downstate Illinois, Heather Staines being one, brought this up about a week ago, saying we got to really take a look at recreational marijuana. As you mentioned, Commissioner Fritchie and the Cook County Board. I mean, do you see this being an issue? Is this something that's going to be an issue that'll come up in the general election coming up here for gubernatorial?
Yeah, sure.
Is it something that we'll see the state of Illinois get serious about if the answer comes back that, you know, 80%, 90% of Cook County residents are for it?
I mean, we've already seen gubernatorial candidates talking about it. J.B. Pritzker is in favor of legalization. Daniel Biss is in favor of legalization. Chris Kennedy is in favor of decriminalization. I think it's already an issue. It's been picking up steam, especially as, you know, Illinois keeps looking at its bank books and seeing red, red, red. I think the revenue thing is very appealing to people. And John Fritchie says this will be overwhelmingly in favor.
The only issue I have is that we... it seems very reluctantly adapted medical marijuana. It's one of the more restrictive programs in the country when it comes to state regulation.
Yeah, it's a limited number of conditions.
So what makes us think that the state of Illinois is ready and progressive enough to take on a big issue like legalizing recreational marijuana?
I think it will depend a lot on who the governor is after 2018. If we do have a governor who's for this, and this governor has to come up with another budget, I think that will be a big driver.
All right. Well, we'll pay attention. Adi Quigg, a reporter at the Daily Line. You can find it at thedailyline.net. Of course, covers everything here in Chicago, Cook County, and they cover Springfield as well. She'll be back with us again next Wednesday. Adi, thanks for being here.
Thanks for having me.